Let's begin our time together. Our Father, we thank you so much for the many blessings that you give us. One in particular is to show us wondrous things out of your law. We thank you, Lord. We hunger and look forward to revealing more of yourself to us. Thank you, Lord, for your gracious, loving work on our behalf. We do pray that you'd be with us, instruct us. May it be all to your glory. In your name, amen. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We know that the book of Hebrews deals extensively with the work of our Lord Jesus Christ as our gracious high priest. We want to simply give a few thoughts in reference to that blessed work, the priestly work of Christ. We obviously will not be exhaustive, extensive, but simply some precious thoughts that we gather. Hebrews chapter 10, I want to read verse 11. The preacher says, "And every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. From that time waiting till his enemies were made his footstool. For by one offering he was perfected forever those who are being sanctified." The pastor here is contrasting, as he often did throughout his letter, of the priests as they function in the Mosaic covenant in Old Testament times, with the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest, having inaugurated the new covenant and being the mediator of that covenant. The effectiveness of the old covenant in its priestly work is exposed by their perpetual standing throughout their ministry and offering sacrifices repeatedly. On the other hand, here in verses 12 through 14, Christ's preeminent position as high priest, permanently seated at God's right hand, shows his all authority necessary to assist all of God's people faithfully, the final sacrifice that alone can take away sin. We come to verse 11 then to look at this contrast. The contrast of that once and for all sacrifice of Christ as spoken by the preacher in chapter 9 and verse 25 of that chapter. He says in Hebrews 9:25, "Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." This is the work, the priestly work, of our Lord Jesus Christ, once and for all sacrifice and bears it for the sins of many. This is contrasted with the vain or the repetition, I should say, of Old Testament sacrifices under the Mosaic covenant exercised by God's appointed priest. You see this in chapter 10 and verse 1. The preacher says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with the same sacrifices which they offered continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But the sacrifice, but in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." So the contrast that the preacher gives in chapter 9 here in 10 is between the effectual nature of the sacrifice that was given in Old Testament context by the priest and Christ as the once and for all sacrifice of the new covenant. Here in verse 11, you have the perpetual standing of the old covenant priest, with the contrast of Christ sitting, once offered sacrifice. Verse 11 of Hebrews 10, "Every priest stands daily offering repeatedly the same sacrifices that can never take away sin. But this man, the Lord Christ, in his priestly work, one sacrifice alone, never to be repeated." He pictures here, the preacher does, that the priest and the Levitical system, they just piled up sacrifice after sacrifice, and no matter how many sacrifices, all was in vain, for sin could not and never would be atoned. They never reached their goal. They could never sit for their job attempting as they sacrifice was never done, demonstrated the inadequacy of the priesthood that was there. It's a shadow of those things to come. It pointed towards Christ, who is the sacrifice. Every priest stood in contrast to the Lord Jesus Christ, who sat down. Those sacrifices could never take away sins. And that's what he says in verse 11, which can never take away sins. But then verse 12, "This man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God." This one, referring to Christ, the Lord Christ. Verse 11, here in chapter 10, or verse 10, I mean, in this chapter says, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ," and he says, "once for all." One sacrifice. And that sacrifice, having been accomplished, the work is finished. Sins are taken away. Sins are atoned. It's finished. It's complete. There can never be anything added to it. Nothing ever subtracted from it. And being finished and being sufficient in the redemption of all of God's elect, we see in verse 12 that He sat down. Sat down. And it's an aorist tense here that the preacher uses, emphasizing the finality of Christ. Did not stand having to repeat over and over, but He sat down. And this one sacrifice for sin, verse 12, is forever, underscores the definitive character of Christ's work. It has permanence to it, never to be repeated. It is fulfilling all of God's purposes. In chapter 8 and verse 1, the preacher says, "Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven." That's where He is. Finished. Accomplished. One sacrifice that takes away the sins of His people. This is what He has said in Hebrews 1 and verse 3. "Who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins," what? "He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." He has all authority. He has all sufficiency bound up in Himself, cleansing all of our pollution, taking away the dominion of sin that is ours by birth, dead in Adam, sufficient. And what a glorious, glorious truth is this. When you see that the sacrifices of old could not accomplish this at all, they stood and they continued and they repeated the sacrifices in obedience, all of it pointing to the Lord Christ. And that's not only the effect of and the work and purpose of Christ as High Priest. He goes on to say in verse 13, "From that time, once and for all sacrifice, waiting till His enemies are made His footstool." God gives to His Son. Listen to Psalm 110, Messianic Psalm. Here's what the psalmist says in Psalm 110 and verse 1. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand." This is what is given to the Son. This is that which shows the finished work of Christ. It has been fulfilled. And then the promise in the latter part of verse 1 of Psalm 110, "Till I make your enemies your footstool." And this promise is still waiting for consummation. And it will be when the Son comes for His people in that last day. Since the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, definitively takes His seat at God's right hand, sits at the place of authority, He is now waiting until His enemies be made a footstool for his feet. You look at the enemies of God. You look at the wicked. You see how they prosper. You see how they seem to be so powerful. No one can touch them. But there's coming a day when their hatred for Christ will be that which God in sovereign power will bring them all to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. The time in vision is obviously the occasion of the second coming of Christ. In chapter 2 and verse 8, you have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we will in that day. Every knee shall bow. This is what the apostle has said, has he not, in Philippians 2 and in verse 10 of Philippians 2 regarding the coming of Christ, making himself of no reputation. Listen, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Even the greatest atheist, the one that blasphemes and curses God, yet in that day they will bow. What a glorious sovereign God. No one can frustrate his purposes at all. And here, his work being finished, being certain, authority given unto him. Listen, and says the preacher, from that time he is waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. They mock him now and think they have it over him, but there's coming a day when he waits patiently, when they shall bow the knee. And then in verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. The benefits of the priestly work of Christ in his faithfulness to his people is seen, so that one offering, he does all that is necessary in order to bring God's people into the very presence of God. That's why we cannot in our prayers go into the most holy of holies, into the very presence of the Father of ourselves. We must always go in by the Lord Christ, by his obedience. Christ, as our high priest, has perfected his people, cleansed his people, taken away the disobedience and that punishment due unto that, and brings all of his people into his very presence, sustains them, making them holy. When we come into the presence of the Father, we stand in holiness, in perfection, in him. There is a continual effect of that past act upon us. No one will ever need to be renewed in the presence of God, because it's a once and for all act. Nothing to be added. Nothing more needed. The sanctifying work of Christ is not only seen in his work in Hebrews 10 and verse 10, but is continuous. When the Hebrew writer, the preacher, says this in verse 14, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. This being sanctified, being made holy, does not refer to a progressive sanctification. It doesn't refer to being made holier. No. What it does mean here is that when he speaks of being sanctified, it is that continuous state of holiness before the Father and reception of grace that comes from Christ alone. Reception of this grace enables God's people to receive the blessings and the benefits, forgiveness being central, a life of faithful obedience. Your continued holiness expresses the faithful obedience of Christ, and you are totally, and I am totally, dependent upon the benefits of His priestly work to come before the Father. You see, sometimes we think of the Lord Christ in such lowly terms. We do not see His glory and His majesty. When the Apostle Paul says that being brought out of darkness, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, what do we see? We see His marvelous light, the glory of Christ. This is part of it. Think of it. A priestly work that will never fail. A priestly work that never has to be added to. A priestly work that never becomes rusty. All of the privileges continually and forever will be there. What a tremendous God He is. A believer, when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, never does a child of God ever have to worry that mercies run out or that the priestly work has lost its effect and I've gone to the edge of it all. No. He is always there. He is always faithful. And that's why the strongest terms that the preacher can give is to say in chapter 4:16, let us therefore, seeing that we have this gracious high priest, this great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. And listen to me, dear saint, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, and we will find grace. We will find mercy in time of need. He is always there. His work is sufficient. It was not so in the Mosaic covenant. And although these were pictures and shadows of things to come, and they were given responsibility to perform these sacrifices, yet the sacrifices themselves, the blood of bulls and goats, could not take away sin, is what the preacher is saying in Hebrews 10:11. Could not. But there's coming a time when there would come the one, the Lord Christ, as our gracious high priest, once and for all, takes care of our redemption and our sins, and then sits down. It is finished. Tremendous significance. Christ seated at the right hand of the Father. You see how wrong it is for even in our day, these so-called earthly priests who continue to have this sacrifice and that sacrifice, they miss as this Christ is not sufficient. And it still goes on. And it's all in vain. It means nothing. And what it does, it brings dishonor upon the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our gracious high priest has come. He's inaugurated this new covenant, a new covenant which he is the mediator of, Hebrews chapter 8. And in that are the redemptive benefits that come and flow out of that priestly work, where the Hebrew writer says that he is both priest and sacrifice. He offered up himself. And what a tremendous blessing it is. So that nothing could impede his work. Nothing could stand in his place. Why is it? Why is it that we pray so little? Why is it that we come with such hesitation? Why is it that we come with such unbelief? We should be ashamed and plead before God that He would forgive us for any doubting whatsoever. We come gloriously. All around us, it seems as if the wicked are prospering. It's only for a time, and they will fall. And in that context, Christ, as the high priest, fulfills all that he has finished, accomplishing redemption for a people, and he will see those people come to him. No way will the wicked frustrate the purposes of God. They can shut the churches. They can destroy and burn them down. They can take believers and kill them. They can do all they want, but they will never frustrate the purposes of God, because in that finished work, everything that He has accomplished must and will be done. The finality of it, He is sitting, He sat, and therefore it is done. May the Lord grant to us a spirit of praise, a spirit of encouragement, and may it be that our desire is that in everything we would give Him the glory and praise. How often and do we come before our God in times of prayer? How often do you come and just simply sit and just shake your head and just, oh Lord, what a marvelous work. Wow. You are our high priest. Your blood accomplishes its end. You hear the weakest voice, and you sitting in the place of authority, finished work, will see it accomplished. Do we just praise the Lord? Sometimes our prayers are just so shallow. Sometimes our prayers are just always asking for things, asking. But do we just sit back and contemplate and just marvel and just thank the Lord and just see His glory and revel in the glory of Christ? That the Lord would grant to us this spirit as we come to Him in prayer. Forget all my needs, Lord. Wow, just to behold Your glory. the glory of the everlasting God. Shall we pray?